still I will rest in you. No matter what's going on in my life, still I will rest in you. Amen, church? Let's give the choir and the band one more hand clap of praise. You like my little shoes right here? Aren't they cute? I love it. I think someone wanted these for themselves, actually. Apparently they could wear them. I don't know. So we'll leave that for another time. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 21 through 30. But before we dig into this passage, I want you to pray for Pastor Josh. He is home, not feeling well today, so let's keep him lifted in prayer. I'm sure you're wondering where he is. But I also wanted to take a moment to invite you after our worship service to go over to Asbury Place to have a meal in which the Boy Scouts have prepared for us. So make sure you take some time to walk over there so we can fellowship together after our service. Luke 4, 21 through 30. Yes. He rolled up the scroll. Well, I'm going to start at 20. He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the synagogue assistant, and sat down. Every eye in the synagogue was fixed on him, talking about Jesus. 21. Jesus began to explain to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled just as you heard it." Everyone was raving about Jesus. So impressed were they by the gracious words flowing from his lips. They said, "This is Joseph's son, isn't it?" Then Jesus said to them, "Undoubtedly, you will quote this saying to me, 'Doctor, heal thyself. Do here in your hometown what we've heard you do in Capernaum.'" He said, "I assure you that no prophet is welcome in the prophet's hometown. And I can assure you that there were many widows in Israel during Elijah's time when it didn't rain for 3.5 years and there was a great food shortage in the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to a widow in the city of Zarephath in the region of Sidon. There were also many persons with skin diseases in Israel during the time of the prophet Elisha, but none of them were cleansed. Instead, Naaman the Syrian was cleansed." When they heard this, everyone in the synagogue was filled with anger. They rose up and ran him out of town. They led him to the crest on the hill which their town had been built so they could throw him off the cliff. But Jesus passed through the crowd and went on his way. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are so grateful for this time to hear from you. Open our hearts, O God. Remove anything that may hinder us from this message today. Thank you for all who have rehearsed and practiced and prepared for this moment. Thank you for their willingness to give of their gifts. Thank you for those who have donated these shoes to help the children at Gulf Coast Kids House. Thank you for our leaders and our congregation. Thank you for this moment. Lord, this passage is not an easy one. And this message is even more difficult. But God, we trust that you are in the midst and that all things are made good because of you. Thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love. In Christ's name we do pray, and all of God's children said, amen. Last week was such a joy as we witnessed Jesus proclaim his mission to the world. But after reading this passage, quite frankly, it looks as if Jesus' first sermon did not go so well. That's an underestimate, right? When they want to take you to the edge of the cliff and throw you off of it. It's beyond not going so well. So I want to ask you a question. In the past few years, have you noticed an increase of trigger warnings appearing on television shows, Facebook groups, movies, books, articles, and podcasts? These trigger warnings let us know that the content, a scene, or something that you are about to read or hear may deeply affect you emotionally and even physically. Have you noticed this increase? Yes, me too. For example, Marvel movies, yes, I am a fan, do not judge me, will frequently have a trigger warning that some scenes have flashing or strobing lights that may cause seizures to some. Sometimes books and articles or podcasts may trigger some deep emotional response of hostility, anger, fear, PTSD, and memories in some. These trigger warnings are a stopgap, an invitation for you to move on, to continue to watch, listen, or read, or make the decision to turn away and change your mind. Do you know what I'm talking about? My daughter has a friend who has epilepsy, and at times flashing or strobe lights would cause seizures. So when she was in our care, we were very mindful, and myself overly mindful of movies and television shows. We would go to the theater and plays together, and I was mindful of what may trigger a seizure, a reaction in her. Today's lectionary text could quite possibly be a trigger warning for us to stop and think about how to react to what or who we encounter, read, or watch when we follow Christ, who continues to surprise us, luring us out of our comfort zones, or challenging what we believe to be true. We find ourselves continuing this journey in the Gospel of Luke, and we have come to the passage where Luke describes a response, and not a very good one, from the people of Nazareth to Jesus. Jesus has stood up and reads the Isaiah text to his hometown, and he proclaims several things. This is the beginning of his mission to the world. He proclaims the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. He says he was the one who would bring good news to the poor. He is the one who would bring sight to the blind and freedom to the captives. And that he, in their midst, would be the one to fulfill the old prophecy. That is a lot to take in. As he's sharing this good news, verse 20 informs us that every eye is on Jesus. His neighbors, his friends, his family. We can only imagine how those in the synagogue looked at each other in awe. Luke 4:22 tells us that they were so impressed by the gracious words that flowed from the lips of Jesus that they raved about him. They quite frankly probably smiled at one another. This is our hometown hero. We can only imagine how they were beaming that the year of the Lord's favor, the Jubilee year, the year where all would be right in the world, was upon them, right there in Nazareth. We can only imagine how they were impressed with their homegrown son. And they proudly proclaimed, "This is Joseph's son, isn't it?" We can only imagine their response in that moment "What a great message, Jesus. We are so glad you are here." And then Jesus says to them, words that trigger a response. To the point where verse 28 and 29 describes what happens. It says, when they heard this, everyone in the synagogue was filled with anger. They rose up and ran out of town. They led him to the crest of the hill on which their town had been built so they could throw him off the cliff. So let's back up for a moment. So often we do not focus or take the time to unpack why the anger and hostility was a response from Jesus' hometown. Why would they run him off? Why would they try to throw him down the cliff? We may concentrate on the miracle of him passing through the crowd because that's a mystery. We may focus in on his mission statement because that's good news. But what we rarely focus on is this trigger moment, the why behind the response, the why his people, Jesus' people, quickly moved from friend to foe. Saints, today I'm wondering, just a little bit out loud, I've been wondering all week if Jesus can still surprise us, or are we too stuck in our old ways? Should I say that one more time? Can Jesus still surprise us, or are we too stuck in our old ways? So for a moment, let us imagine that we are the congregation. We are the ones sitting in worship. We are the ones hearing the proclamation of the good news. We are the ones who know the Isaiah scroll and that the Spirit of the Lord is at work. We are the congregation and Jesus is before us. Like the people of Nazareth, we most likely will have our own expectations and experiences when we hear the good news of the gospel. And like them, we should always be expectant in hearing a word from God. But what capacity do we have for hearing the new things of God in our midst? For what Jesus was proclaiming to the people of Nazareth was a new thing. The declarations that were made through the Isaiah scroll were familiar declarations. They were future possibilities that the Jews had longed for ever since the exile. Isaiah's pronouncement and Jesus' proclamation embodied the hopes of Israel. They were excited to hear all things until Jesus mentioned Elisha and Elijah. See, Jesus reached all the way back into their history to remind them of two occasions when God's blessings was given to outsiders rather than insiders. Elijah was sent to a widow in Zarephath during a time of a severe famine. This was happening throughout the land of Israel. And while she entertained Elijah, her oil and flour were miraculously multiplied, though she was not a Jew. And Elisha was God's instrument to bring healing to Naaman, the Syrian, while many with leprosy in Israel went without healing. Jesus' history lesson, combined with the Isaiah scroll and his proclamation, are highly provocative and a trigger moment for those in the synagogue, and a mob pursues. See, it seems as if Jesus' hometown wanted the blessings for themselves, because that's what they have known all along. Remember, Jesus is bringing the new things of God. He reached all the way back into their history to share a truth, but then he shattered that truth, their own tradition, which they had long defended and embraced. It was a truth that was a part of their hope and their identity. He reached back to tell them, this was your expectation, but I'm here doing a new thing. Saints, we do not want to be the congregation or the people who sit with the Gospels week after week, unable to grasp or hear the new things of God in our midst. We do not want to be the congregation or the church who proclaim those people, fill in the blank, do not deserve the blessings of God. We do not want to be those people who hinder their presence in our sanctuary, in our church, or reaching them out in the world because of their ethnicity, their economic status, their sexual orientation, their political standing, their addictions, their marital status, whether they're tall or short, wide or thin, and so much more. We do not want to be those people. Essentially, throwing Jesus, and the preacher for that matter, off the cliff. Jesus does not go elsewhere in this passage because he is rejected. He is rejected because he goes elsewhere. And his elsewhere was to us, the ones who needed him the most. His elsewhere is to the children who will walk in every single pairs of these shoes through the most difficult and most challenging times in their life. We do not want our unbelief or our expectations or what we think we know to lead us to be outsiders to what God is doing among us and in the world. So, saints, what capacity do we have for hearing the good things of God in our midst? Maybe it's new people who fill these empty seats but do not meet the traditional standard of what defines a family. Maybe we're not asking the right questions about what those who are experiencing homelessness really need. Same with mental health and addictions. Maybe we're not asking the right questions for what our community really needs. Jesus still has the capacity to surprise us. Now, the gospel can trigger all kinds of emotions: joy, sadness, awe, fear, anger. But we are reminded time and time and time again, the greater of those emotions is love. Jesus came to transgress boundaries. And we see that at the very end in verse 30, where he passes through the crowd, moving on. There are so many reasons why the church can be angry, fearful, sad, full of joy. But how often are we open enough to receive the new things that God has for us in our midst? If it is outside the unknown or outside of tradition, we have a tendency to want to throw it or them off the cliff. But Jesus is speaking in this passage to people who knew. They knew what to expect from the Messiah. They knew the hopes and the dreams and the expectations of Israel. They knew all of these things, and they were so proud when Jesus said, "I have come to do all these things, but I'm doing it with other people first." And they became angry. How often are we so closed off and so stuck that we cannot see the new things of God in our midst? So I ask today, and this is a big ask, for us as a church, as beautiful people of God, to not throw or attempt to throw Jesus down the cliff. To not reject the possibilities and the gifts and the graces of who God has and will bring into our midst. I ask today, let us not reject, as we see in this text, the new things of God. Individually or collectively. As the choir and band prepare to sing, I want us to be reminded once again of Isaiah 61. And I'm going to need your help. The Spirit of the Lord is upon the church today, because the Lord has anointed the church today. He has sent the church to preach good news. When? To the poor. When? To proclaim release to the prisoners. When? to liberate the oppressed when? To bless every single pair of these shoes today. And to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor today. Saints, our hope is not built on ourselves. It is not built on sinking sand. It is not built on what we think we know. Our hope is built on nothing less. Nothing less than Jesus and his righteousness. Our hope and our trust in our faith is in no other words, no one else, but Christ alone. When? Today. The word of God for the people of God today. Amen.